Good morning, Hope College. And not just Hope College, but we give a big welcome this morning to all those visiting our campus. We are always happy to have you. And one quick announcement before we get started this morning. Now is the time to start thinking of spring break. I know, seems like it's really far away. But spring break signups for our mission trips are going on now. You can go to our website, grow.hope.edu, and check it out. It is a great thing to get a part of. And if you have any more questions, you can ask any of us about it. Hey, I'm excited this morning because I've been reading a great book that's helped me understand a little bit about myself, and I wanted to share some of these things I'm learning. This book is called The Tall Book. I'm not making this up. There is a book out there called The Tall Book, written by a woman who's 6'3", and she wrote it because she discovered there weren't any books out there written on tallness, so she decided to write one. Fascinating stuff, guys. And one of the chapters specifically talks about why is it that people assume that tall people are so good at sports? And in this chapter, she kind of brings up some things that actually would indicate that tall people actually wouldn't really be good at sports. Four things that are kind of factual about us tall people. We have a slow tempo, which means because our limbs are longer, it takes us longer to do things. Like if I were a swimmer, it would take me about 33% longer to bring my arm all the way around versus a 5'5" swimmer. We are also, according like body weight to like mass strength, we're not quite as strong, which explains why I'm not really able to do push-ups. It's not because I'm not as strong as the short people. It's just that I'm taller, right? We get injured more quickly because of the body layout, and we're slow to get moving, to like get momentum going. And this is the big one. This has like really justified my life. We're tippers, which means we fall easily. This would have been really helpful to know when I was young and I was aspiring to be an Olympic gymnast. Or as I grew up and just happened to fall a lot and have anxiety thinking about putting on ice skates or rollerblades that make me even taller and less balanced. It's because my center of gravity is higher. Now, one of the times that I became clued into the fact that I was a tipper was when I was in high school and was making my hiking debut on Wilderness, a Young Life backpacking trip out in Colorado. Yeah, it's awesome. I was a little skeptical, a little nervous, because I wasn't, you know, Miss Hiker, but I thought, you know, I'm going to do this. Now, one of the things that our guides let us in on when we first got started was something called the rest step, and I'm going to share it with you in case you ever find yourself hiking, because it's helpful. Basically, what this is when you're walking, particularly when you're going uphill, when you're walking, you want to, with your step, at each point, you want to completely straighten your leg so that the weight goes on your bone and gives your muscles a break for a split second, which may seem like not that big of a deal, but when you're hiking for miles and miles and miles and miles, those split seconds add up, right? So you do the rest step where you just kind of, you know, you just go slowly. I like it because it's slow moving. And resting, I like to rest. So it seemed like a good idea. And they attach this great verse with it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge God, and God will set your paths straight. So this is one of the first things we learned as we were going. Now, let me tell you something about Wilderness. For me, it was high school, and there were boys from another high school in our group. Equaling, I really wanted to make a good impression, right? So 15 minutes into our hike, we're all kind of practicing our rest step, feeling kind of cool. And we get to our first stream crossing. Not a river, but not like a, you know, I don't know, a trickle where you could just hop over across. I'm the first one behind the guide. And I'm a tipper, don't realize this at the time, especially when you have extra weight on you, right? I take two steps across this board, and I am down for the count, laying in the stream under the weight of my backpack, water, like gurgling, and I am thinking two things. One, I'm going to die. too. I am making a really bad impression on those cute guys. I got up. I lived. And I actually hiked even more. And actually, it was funny, though, because the motto of our group kind of became, the day's not over until Kate falls. I fell every day. I know. I'm a tipper. Okay, fast forward now, 6 years later. And I know that some of you in this room have heard this story before, but it bears repeating. 6 years later, I'm spending my first summer in the Dominican Republic on summer staff at Pico Escondido, a camp that some of you here have been to on a spring break mission trip. You should go. We're there, and we have a break, like between work teams, and I'm on a summer staff of a whopping 4 people, and with our host, our guides for the summer, the people who live down there. And they are what I like to call crazy hikers. You know, people who hike for weeks and weeks and weeks on ends and like to do things as quickly as possible, think it's fun to see how quickly they can hike up and down a mountain. And they decide for our break, it would be a great idea to hike a mountain. You maybe didn't know there was mountains in the Dominican Republic, but there actually are. So I'm thinking, I can do this. I can hang. I'm not a novice hiker anymore. But 2 things. Now I'm in college, and there's a cute guy from my college who's a really good friend who's down there. So I'm still wanting to make a good impression, right? But I'm prepared this time. I'm prepared. So we're going with the crazy hikers. And we're going, and since we're crazy hikers, all of us, I'm trying to pass, we don't stop at the shelter where most people stop on the first day. No, we keep going to the base of the summit because, you know, we're crazy hikers, which basically means we end up hiking in the dark pretty quickly. No worries, guys. I'm prepared. I got my headlight, and I'm feeling cool because if you aren't really a hiker, just get some gear, and you can kind of pass a little bit. So I got this headlight. It's on, right? Now, you might not be able to tell from up here. This is actually a new headlight that my friends gave to me after they saw that the headlight at the time, this is what I really want you to envision, was more like a band like this, and a light that really emitted more something like this. You know, it was about that big. You know, the dim flashlights when you shake it, and you're like, oh, it needs new batteries. So this is my headlight, okay, up here. And I'm walking slowly because I'm tall and we do things slowly. And Krista, crazy hiker in front of me, says, you know, Kate, I think she's getting a little impatient with me. She's like, you know, Kate, sometimes it's actually more helpful to turn your headlight off, and it helps you walk, keep your feet like a bear, you know, keep wide stance. And I'm like, oh, Krista, she knows what she's talking about. So, you know, I turn my headlight off. It was off. I take 1 step, I take 2 steps, and next thing I know, I am rolling down the side of the mountain. Thinking to myself 2 things. 1, I'm gonna die. 2, I am not passing as a crazy hiker anymore, clearly. Making a bad impression. So I literally, no one came down to get me because it was dark. So I'm not joking, I'm like crawling up the side of this mountain thinking, when is this gonna be over? So, get up to the top, obviously, clearly I'm still alive, so it all worked out. And I think of that story often and tell that story actually kind of often because it serves as a good reminder for me about how we live life. You see, I would have given anything in that moment, really probably for a chairlift to get me to the top of the mountain, but also for a floodlight. You know, it was dark, and I had this light that literally was like this circle of light. There was no, like, extension of that right in front of me, so I could just see where the rocks and the debris were right in front of me. I wanted one of those big, you know, police car lights that lights up everything behind me to show me the path. I wanted to know where the rocks were. I wanted to know when the path was going to finally level out. I wanted to know when the shelter was showing up so we could just stop. And isn't that how many of us, most of us, live our lives? We would just want to know and think to ourselves, if I just knew this, then I would be happy. If I could just know where I'm supposed to go to college, if I could just know what I'm supposed to major in, or what internship I'm supposed to take, or what job I'm supposed to take, am I going to have a job? shoot, where am I going to live after I graduate? I wonder if I already know the person I'm going to marry or if I haven't met them yet. Do I want to know who that person is? And the next thing you know, you're worried about at what age you're going to retire and what you're going to do, and you haven't even decided what you're going to eat for lunch yet. Here's the thing. This isn't a symptom of college, but this is a mindset that all of us can get in. I was with some good friends sitting around the dinner table last Friday night. All of us about my age, older than you, and all of us at different points in our life. One couple is starting a new business, another couple pondering career changes. I'm in the middle of buying a house, and someone said, "Gal, wouldn't it just be nice if we could just know 2 years from now how this all was going to work out?" And all of us were kind of like, "Yeah, yeah, that'd be nice." And then I thought, would it? Because here's the thing. When I was in college, if you had told me that that mountain that I was laying on the side of in the middle of the night in the Dominican Republic was the country that I was going to live in for 5 years after I graduated, I would have been like, that's crazy talk. Or if you had told me that I would be 25 and not married yet, I would have envisioned myself lonely in an apartment with a lot of cats. If you had told me that I would be 29 and suddenly figuring out how to do holidays with a divorced family, I would say, no, not my family. If you told me that I would be 31, still single, living in Holland and working at Hope College and completely content and happy about that, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have said it was impossible. On Friday, Josh talked about walking with God and how we aren't really a culture that walks so much. We're a culture that likes to do things quickly. And I'm the same way. We like to get places quicker. We like to do things quickly. We like to multitask. I see you walking around, talking on your phone, texting as you walk. We are a culture that likes to get places quickly. But we need to slow down and walk for a lot of reasons. Last night, Paul talked about Noah and his trust and his obedience. And I think the most amazing thing to me about the story of Noah and the flood, actually, is that Noah even built the ark in the first place. But it says that Noah walked with God and did all that God had commanded to him, even when it seemed like crazy talk, because Noah took one step, one moment at a time. So that is my prayer for us and my encouragement to you this morning. When your mind starts to get spinning out of control and you get anxious about, do I really know what I'm supposed to do in this situation? Slow yourself down. Do a little rest step if you have to, and remind yourself that we are to trust in the Lord with all of our being and lean not on our own understanding, and acknowledge him in all of our ways, and he will set our paths straight. Live into the moment, for it is in this moment, right now, and throughout the day, where God is dwelling. And I don't want you to miss it. Be present wherever you are, and take it step by step. Let's pray. God, thank you for being our light. And I ask that you will continue to prove yourself faithful to us, for we know that you are. Help us to believe it and help us to continue to walk step by step. We thank you for your promises and help us to know them more clearly. And we pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.